It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome, everyone, to Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. It's our favorite time of year here for both myself, Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager, and director of Braves alumni relations, Greg McMichael. We're here with you here in October. It's time for October baseball. As we are recording this, it is Thursday, so 2 days before game one here at Truist Park and the Battery Atlanta, which, by the way, this weekend at this ballpark and game three, and hopefully it's only game three in Philly, are going to be bananas. And that's why it's our favorite time of year. You know, this is what it's all about, this the feeling in the atmosphere, the good nerves, the anxiousness, which, again, I have anxiousness about it, or anxiety about it, but it's like good. It's like,
yeah, you're not the only one. I noticed somebody else in the office today said, God, I feel like I'm a ball player. I'm nervous. I'm like, really? You're nervous?
Yeah. Well, I am too, but it's like good. It's like why we're in this business almost is like for these moments and these times, because it's just so much fun. And I hope the fans out there understand, like, I can sense it. I can see it online from them. I see it when I see them in person, either here at the ballpark or even out in and around the city. But we feel that here in the office too. Mm. It's so much fun. And honestly, our postseason marketing campaign as one, I think it's so appropriate, not only for this team, but really organization, fan base, and everybody together. It's a very communal, we all feel like we're in this thing. We're all part of each of us is invested in this thing.
Well, I even noticed the talk radio this morning just had a different attitude.
Yeah,
their tone was like, oh, we just can't wait to stick it to the Phillies. We don't, right. You know, just... And I think the great thing about that is that I think we've come into a different type of rivalry. I mean, the Phillies, from my perspective, the Phillies have always been that team. And that's probably because my first year in the league, 1993, was when we dominated them all year. And then all of a sudden, they got hot in the series and we couldn't, everything went their way. You know, it's just kind of one of those things. So I've always had a disdain for them, and maybe it's because of the fans, maybe it's because of the city. I've just played up there. I know they were talking about that this morning on the radio, that they were already starting their talk radio was talking smack about, you know, they could get a cheaper ticket down here, and they could fly down here, buy two tickets and go back, and it'd be cheaper than buying two tickets in Philly. You know, just stuff like that ticked them off. And of course, you know, you got Kincaid, who used to be down here, and there's guys fueling the fire, which is kind of fun. But there's something about that fan base, and I kind of relate them to the Giants, to the Yankees, to the Mets. It's just something, there's an edge to them. And what I thought was really cool, this is the only thing I'll say positive about them, when you watch the game, and like last night, every swing, every pitch, it's like, oh, the whole stadium, yeah, does that. I mean, they are so into it. That's the only thing I'll say positive about them. Other than that, I would rather not be there. So, anyway, yeah, this is super exciting. And I think you got to add in the weather change. You know, the humidity goes away. You get the crispness at night. And then the atmosphere here is just going to be phenomenal. So I can't wait. That's been my most exciting thing that I've enjoyed as a fan and working here, is going to these playoff games. Of course, because I don't really go during the season. I have other things that I've got going on. But I make sure I'm here for the playoffs. And those games, I mean, everybody's hanging on, and it's just a different type of atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. We got my tickets ready to rock and roll with that.
My family, so my one sister lives in Colorado, is flying in Friday night. My other sister is back home in Virginia. She's also flying in Friday night.
Nice.
They're staying with me and Laura. They're going with Laura. I got three tickets, so I'll be in the press box, my normal perch. They're going to game one. Both sisters fly back out. Then my parents and my Nana are driving down from Virginia, staying with us, going to game two. They are all excited because they've heard me for years talk about the amazing feeling and atmosphere that there is to be, like, just to be in the ballpark for a postseason game. And they're beyond excited. And then I've been hyping up too, just I'm like, it's all day Saturday in the Battery. And we got, now we know, as of this morning, game time's announced. Mm-hmm. We finally got some prime time.
Yeah, exactly.
NLDS times. The joke online was the Braves, you know, what the Braves are going to get the 9:30 a.m. spot on QVC.
Yeah, that's right.
Or whatever, as usual. Yeah. But I think it's a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah.
And this is no disrespect certainly to the other matchups.
The
but this is the of the four mm-hmm. matchups, I think everybody's going to key in on this one for all the reasons, the teams themselves, first of all. Obviously, we know we believe we're the best team in baseball, have been by record. The Phillies are a really darn good team. Say what you want about them, but they're tough. I think we definitely drew the toughest opponent we could have in this first round. But, you know, I think some people get nervous about that. They're like shy away from it, and I understand that. But to me, if you're going to be a part of this or invest part of yourself into this, if you're going to win the whole thing, I want to beat the best along the way. That's you know, look, it'd be great to just breeze right through, or you get like you draw your easiest, quote unquote, easiest opponent. But give me the toughest matchups the whole way, because it's gonna, if you do win it all and you're the last one standing, it's gonna be that much more satisfying and rewarding for having taken that path to get there.
Well, I don't know if the Dodgers would agree, because the Diamondbacks are scrappy, and I'm sure they've played the Dodgers tough all year. They're in their division. Phillies are in our division. So I'm sure the Dodgers would rather play the Phillies, and we would rather play the Diamondbacks, just because of familiarity and in your division, anything can go. But there again, and I've heard Snit or Alex say that, we know them really well. You know, just like the Dodgers know the Diamondbacks really well, and vice versa. So I don't think there's maybe an easier draw. I just, the whole thing about having a bye, I just don't know if that's the best way baseball needs to do it. It's a little different, I think, in football, but for baseball, I don't know. I just don't like being off. I think baseball's such a ritual. It's such a game of just consistency, and where you have routine, and when you break up that routine, it just causes problems. That's the really only thing. I don't really care who we play. I just that's the thing that bothers me the most for the players, because I know as a player that was the hardest thing, is that when you break the routine, it's hard to get right back into it. When you were as hot as, you know, our hitting was, that's the only thing that really concerns me.
Well, I think that's why we've had these three postseason workouts, or really sim games, here at Truist Park this weekend, have opened up the ballpark to fans for free to come in.
Great idea, by the way.
And it's been the first night for me personally, just this is me sitting there. First night felt a little off. Like, it kind of had like 2020 vibes, in that it was just a little awkwardly quiet at first. But as the game went on, and listen, this was literally the first time all of us have ever done this. You know, Braves Vision is working, like they're playing walk-up music and trying to make this seem as much like a real game as possible. And I got to tell you, by the second game last night, it felt a whole lot more like just a regular experience.
Were there a lot of people here?
I think we had over 5,000 people here last night. Fans, I'm telling you what, man, the fans for these simulated games this week,
they were loud, huh?
Awesome.
Wow, that's great.
I was looking down last night and I went, heck, we're going to have more people here tonight than we did the night before, because it's 5 o'clock start, free admission. So, you know, people getting off work, being able to drive over after getting out of school, that sort of thing. So it wasn't like everybody was here right for when the game would start. But they showed up, man. I haven't seen any of the numbers for today. I would expect the same for tonight as we're taping this. The third one is going to happen tonight, Thursday night. Phenomenal turnout by
them.
That's
great.
And it's been cool. The players have been, of course, signing autographs and doing all the things. But it really, we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, this whole new format, we're only in year two. And after how last year went with us and the Dodgers both getting bounced in the DS, everybody said, okay, like, we're here again, two teams.
Did the Dodgers do anything like this?
I think they've been, I don't know if they're doing sim, they've been doing something like this.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll be honest, I haven't looked up the details. I don't know if fans were there. They may have been. I don't know if they were sim games or just workouts, but I think they're doing something similar. I don't know about the American League teams. I just, you know, I haven't checked that far into it. But we'll see how it all goes. I would wager to guess that this is, as long as we're in this current format, what we have done this week is going to become the norm.
Yeah, I don't know what else you could have done.
You have to do something.
Unless you go scrimmage, see if one of the teams are out of it would want to play scrimmage.
We'll give you a little bit of our postseason share if you'll...
That's right.
Yeah. Quick side note, we'll get into postseason. We're going to talk about the DS here. I did want to throw out one little just nugget from the first sim game the other night for fans to just keep in mind as we move forward, or as to maybe a player to look for in the future. Tuesday night, I believe we drafted him in the fifth round this year. Isaiah Drake, I believe is his name. Kenyon Drake, NFL player. It's his younger brother. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember where he was committed to go play baseball. Is it UCLA? I could be very wrong because he's here, local kid, obviously. They brought him up along with a lot of the guys from Gwinnett to kind of have, so we could have two full squads.
Right.
Isaiah Drake hit a triple off the wall. And Greg, this could be recency bias. When I tell you, and I'm certainly not a professional baseball talent evaluator, but when I tell you, I don't know that I've ever seen somebody run that fast around the bases. This dude has insane
speed. He's getting it, huh?
I don't know what his first to third time was, but I'm telling you, it was, if you blinked, you missed it.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's one, I think he's only just turned 18. Mm. So I bring that up to say, hey, if you're especially like if you're going to you're somewhere out in the Southeast, you're going to some Braves minor league games, or you come to spring training, and just somebody to maybe keep in mind to look at. Again, he's 18, you never know. But I'm telling you, that speed was, it was, the few of us that were here in the press box were all going, whoa, that was something. So just throwing that out there.
That's great.
And again, for the fans that came out and just watched, I know it's not a real game, but that was something, another little nugget you got to see just by showing up. That
Where
was
did he
neat.
End up this year? Did he end up in AAA?
No. He played like Florida Coast.
Okay. He wasn't in Augusta or anything like that.
I think he played and I believe he was in the MLB draft league, that newer league, somewhere up north. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe he was somewhere up in the Northeast. And then I believe he played
up in the Gulf Coast
League in Florida for a little bit. Again, young kid just drafted this summer. So, but somebody worth looking at next spring. Not for, he's only 18, so I'm not saying for the big league roster, but somebody to keep your eyes on.
The way they do things now,
true.
It doesn't take, we've seen several players across the league that started out in A-ball and ended up in the big leagues. I mean, they went through three classifications in 1 year. So, I mean, that happened with one of our
Strider. Pitcher.
Yeah, well, that last year, but this year too.
Oh, Smith Shawver, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, started out in Augusta, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, yeah. So, my career here working for the Braves, there have been a few of those little moments. Max Fried on a backfield sim game in 2016 Braves spring training. Hmm. Me and Kevin McAlpin were literally the only two spectators. And it was the first time I got to see him pitch in person. I saw one of his curveballs in person. And I was like, whoa,
I'm going to keep my eyes on this guy. Go down to spring training. Do you do that every year?
I do.
Do you go down there and kind of walk around?
I do. I love it every year.
I'm going to be down there this year as we've talked. We haven't announced this yet, but we talked about maybe doing a show for our Braves Country Baseball and Softball, that we might be doing some filming down there. So I might try to do that. That's a lot of fun. It would probably bring back some great memories.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of great memories.
I never get tired of going down there. It's like going down there for fantasy camp.
Yeah.
Going to Florida for baseball in any form in like January, February, March is just, I love it. But
yeah, that's awesome.
So let's get right into it here. So the NLDS starts 2 days again. We got the primetime slots. This place is going to be rocking. When we go to Philly, that place we know is going to be rocking too. I mean, it's too great of a fan bases as we've got in baseball right now, and you're going to see them both in this series. So, and again, that's me going, I'm being nice to the Phillies in this area too, because it's great to see. If you love the game, it's great to see. That's what you said is exactly what it is. That's what I love about postseason baseball. Everybody is not only so invested, they are living and dying with each pitch.
Yeah.
The AE, and you can feel that reaction.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's
so
crazy.
So let's get right into it. Let's start with this. Let's start with rotation, because I think that's an interesting question. I think we could assume that the first two are going to be some combo in whichever order it is of Max Fried and Spencer Strider. I'm guessing since Max pitched in the first sim game on Tuesday that he would be game two in the DS. Strider would be game one. Strider's numbers against the Phillies would also merit him probably being the game one starter. Either way, it's not a problem because you got two studs out there that you can throw in the first two games. So, if it's me, I probably, if Max hadn't had the blister issue, just out of history and experience, I probably would have gone him game one. Again, I don't think there's anything to be concerned about, but probably go Strider one, Max two. If it's just me, we haven't been told a thing here, by the way. This is just Ricky and Greg talking. Game three, to me, is the interesting question mark. So, first of all, where would you go games one and two? And then we can get into game three.
Well, I mean, remember, you're in a short series. Okay, so the danger of the game, the wild card games that they just played, it's only a three-game series, right? Now we move to a five-game series. Anything can happen. So you got to make sure that your best matchup, your best pitcher, your best whatever, you come out the gate, you're winning that first game. So I think with Strider's dominance of the Phillies and the way he's pitched against them, obviously there's something there with the matchups that bode well for him because he has success. I want him coming out of the gate, and I want to lock in that first game. So whatever your best lineup is, whoever's the hottest against the Phillies, whatever your best pitcher is, you know, you got Kyle Wright in the bullpen, you've got, you know, whatever it is, you got to win that first game. Because you have to, you know, they're trying to split here, right? They're trying to win one of the two. We're trying to 100%. Win both of them.
You got to win. That's I have fully shifted over to your belief that the DS should be a best of seven. And that's one of the biggest reasons for it is, yeah, we have home field advantage, but it's like you almost, if you're the home team, you got to win those first two. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Because if you split, you've lost home field advantage. Yeah. So.
The best teams typically always win, you know, the seven game series, right? It's just too hard for, you know, a team that's not as well rounded as we are to win seven game series. Five game series, not the case. I mean, we almost got beat by the Rockies. We could have very easily gotten beat by the Rockies in 1995. But it's just when you look at, you know, these type of series, that's the one thing that concerns me. So you got to do whatever you can to come out the gate, and that's why home field advantage is so important, because you got the first two games here and those are critical. So you got to win both those games, but you can't do that unless you win the first one. So to me, I'm putting all my best matchups in the first game, and I would definitely go with Strider probably over Max, just because Max has been hurt, and whether he had the blister or not, he's probably not in the same groove as Strider's, and then Strider has as much success as anybody. So that's my personal opinion, but that's probably the way I would go it. And then Max would be second, and then if Charlie's healthy, then it's not going to happen.
No, he's out.
He's out. Yeah.
So that's not happening.
So then you've got a choice to make. Is it Kyle or, you know, and I, you know, Kyle's been out all year too. So who's gotten you there, right? And so you got to go to your third best pitcher, and you know, and Elder's got to pitch. So he's going to be your third guy, even though it's on the road. I mean, you may think that you would rather have Max on the road and Elder at home, but there again, if you've won the first game, you got to win the second. You're going to win the second game. Then you go ahead and, you know, Bryce pitches the third game, and then Kyle pitches the fourth game. So, but it's tough. I mean, it's tough, but I just think even more so those first two games are critical. They're not getting Wheeler in their first game, right?
It'll be game two.
Yeah. So that means they're going with their third pitcher, and then they're going back to their first pitcher. Mm-hmm. And so it's our number one versus their number three, and then it's our number two/number one versus their number one. So I think that's just the way you got to play it. I'll put our lineup against anybody's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better lineup than theirs. But the pitching staff and the bullpen, that's why it makes even more. We use these two games here in Atlanta to win these.
I would go Strider one, Max two, for all the exact same reasons you just laid out. I think it lines up so that if you get to a game four and game five, then you're going Spencer game four, Max game five. That's another benefit to having Max as the game two starter. It's not why you do it, but I look at it as an added benefit, is that if you do have to go to a game five, you've got your guy who won you game six of the World Series.
That's a great
out
point.
Out there in an elimination game. And it's so interesting how, like, yeah, Strider's who I think I won out there game one, but with everything on the line, win or go home, I want Max.
No,
so I think it lines up perfectly. I think as we're sitting here today for game three, I know he's barely pitched all year. I think I would start Kyle. I really do. And that's I don't mean any slight to Bryce. He's still on your roster. And maybe it's the two of them together if it plays out that way, where you start one and then the other one eats up some. I don't know how that all plays out. But for the reasons of Bryce, to me, has looked, you know, he's pitched probably more than he's ever pitched in his life before. And Kyle, I believe, but he's got the experience of having been there, first of all. But also, I think he's kind of a fresh arm because he hasn't pitched all year. And I've seen enough out of him recently that I think I would start. And maybe starting him is essentially a bullpen game. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's if games one and two play out the way you want them to, maybe game three is you want that to be Kyle starts it or Bryce mm-hmm. starts it. And it's really a bullpen right. game.
Well, that's why it's so critical that the coach and staff, they know these players better than anybody. They can look into Kyle's eyes and they can see how his bullpens have been, where his confidence level is, how he pitched those last three starts, what did they see, how could they tweak it, is he close to being the Kyle of last year, the year before. You know, Bryce, the one thing I will say is that when you get into playoff baseball, the sinker baller, changeup type of guy, it's a little bit more difficult. And you can go back and look at guys like Schilling and Smoltz and Randy Johnson and guys like that have pitched, who are swing and miss type pitchers, versus the guys like Maddux and Glavine, and seen that they've had a little bit more success. I don't know why that is, but I've heard John talk about it. I've heard other people talk about it. For some reason, the guys like Strider, the guys like Max, you know, and you could put Kyle in his, you know, when he's been on, it kind of in that same boat, you know, upper 90s and hard slider, sweeper slider. When they have swing and misses, it for some reason it plays out better in October. I just don't know why. But there again, you know, Bryce has the ability to shorten the game, you know, with a lot of ground balls. And especially if Kyle, of course, if Kyle's 100% and they see in him something, because he could turn the switch. You never know. He could draw on that past confidence. And maybe we don't know, you know, Bryce is an unknown. And maybe he's the long guy, you know, in the bullpen. And that tells you whether or not if he does well as a long guy, maybe he's, because he's going to have to be a consideration in the 7-game series.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe you don't put him out there first, but there again, you know, and he gets some experience by pitching, you know, long. Maybe he gets, Kyle only goes three and he ends up going three, and maybe he gets a little confidence, and then in the next round he's, you know, he's good to start. But those coaches are the ones that can tell you that, right? And those guys have done an incredible job. Alex, their staff working together, they'll put the right people out there. I have complete confidence in that.
And it's kind of like we're talking about, like, well, how do you line up games one and two? And either way, I'm like, all right, I'm feeling good either way. Honestly, I kind of feel the same way about game three, where, like, my choices are guy won 20 games last year, or I can have an all-star this year. Okay. You know,
yeah.
You look at how things have gone recently, I think ultimately to make that decision, and, you know, how much fuel guys currently have in the tank, that sort of thing. But either way, I feel good about that. So and we'll see. And then, like you said, the coaches will make that call, and they'll make the mm-hmm. right call. They'll make the best call with all the information they have. So
it's going to be exciting. It's either way, exciting. I can't wait to watch it and just be a part of it. I mean, we're just so fortunate that we take this for granted to some degree. I mean, this is like my 20th year in with this organization. And, you know, as a player and everything. And so some of it, I just expect to be here, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I can't help it. I just, this is just like, this is in our DNA. And so it just brings back such good memories. And it's just so excited to see everybody kind of get to be a part of it. Like you said, the fans and the front office and the players, and couldn't be a better time to be a part of Braves country.
There's a line in our postseason campaign launch video, the As One video, that Insung Kim and I put together the script for it. And there's a line in there that which was voiced by the great Michael Kelly, of course, actor we've had on mm-hmm. this show, House of Cards, Jack Ryan, a lot of other things. So he narrated. If you haven't seen it, go check it out on Braves social media, as Braves YouTube. But there's a line in there that says, "We don't hope for wins, we expect them." Mm. And that's, when you said that's in our DNA, like that is kind of how we view things around here. Like, we're not hoping to win, like, we expect to win. And that's whether we're showing up to Northport, or it's August 7th on a random Tuesday, or it's, you know, October 5th getting ready for the postseason. We expect to win. And I think the confidence you want to have in your organization. So one quick roster question for you, one more, and then we'll start to wrap up and talk a little Braves country, baseball, and softball. For the DS, we traditionally, I feel like, have carried three catchers on our roster in the postseason before. Would you carry three catchers for the DS? And it would be Chadwick Tromp if we were to carry a third. I know that's something we've done a lot in the past. We've been debating this in the press box, and I keep going back and forth, you know, with how you line it up. I don't know. It depends on how much you want to run, I guess. If you want to put, you know, I don't know, it's a seventh inning.
We haven't done that all year. If anything, I'd rather have, unless that third catcher is an extra bat, you know, that we might utilize as a move. But with the DH, it just takes a lot of that out.
Right.
You know, when you have a DH, you just don't have to worry about that stuff as much. Bring in an extra pitcher.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we touched on AJ Smith Chava earlier. I think he's one that's very interesting to look at.
Yeah.
He was already kind of, at least amongst media members, was being kind of floated around or talked mm-hmm. about. I was like, could he, with the way he's performed recently, could he work his way onto the roster? Again, these games here at Truist Park this week they don't count. They're simulated games. However, he went against Max on Tuesday in the first game. And his performance, he may have earned himself a spot on the roster with that. He looked great. And then it gets into, well, if he makes it, then who doesn't? Is it, you know, Michael Tonkin has been a big part of this bullpen all year. He's had some rough, his last, I think, 8 or 9 appearances, he's looked a little shaky. So then do you go with the hot hand? These are all things, as a baseball nerd, I enjoy seeing how teams put together their roster. So I don't have any analysis on that. It's just these are things we'll look at, is like, who are the last couple arms in the bullpen? How many arms are there in the bullpen? Is there a third catcher? Is there not? Do you carry? You always got to have one guy that's your runner off the bench, right? So like a Forrest Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Do they construct it where you got two, where you got Forrest Wall and Luke Williams? I don't know. But these will be postseason. It's just so interesting, fascinating, because the roster for postseason is constructed differently from the other 162.
If our team makeup was a little bit different and we were trying to play, let's say, small ball, and we were hitting and running and bunting and all that, which, you know, some teams can do that. I don't think we're going to do that. We've not done that. I don't think we've proved that we've done that in the postseasons in the past. We're going to play the game the way we've been playing it all year. And that doesn't make as much sense to me, but you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah.
On all these things, this is all just us talking and just, you know, talking baseball a little bit. I have no idea. I know this. I trust the guys upstairs, literally in the offices right above us, the guys and gals up there to make all the right calls. They have, over the last 6 years, they've certainly proven
done a pretty good job.
I would say the records speak for themselves. Yeah. So it'll be fun to see.
We'll get the hardware to show it.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk a little, before we sign off, I want to talk a little Braves country, baseball, and softball. I know you've been an extremely busy man getting ready for the inaugural season of Braves country baseball and softball. So what's the latest with that?
Yeah, we have been out and about talking with park presidents throughout the Southeast. We were just up in Tennessee last night, and South Carolina on Sunday, in Georgia on Tuesday, North Georgia on Tuesday. So yeah, we're out casting the vision, sharing about what the Braves' next step is at the grassroots level. And we're just pumped about the kind of response we're getting. We feel like that this is going to be something special, where we can partner with Parks and Rec across Braves country, from Mississippi to South Carolina. And we've just had nothing but a great response. So as we've shared about, you know, how we have constructed a championship path. So, you know, there's going to be, we've put six districts in each state, three regions in each state, state champions, and then they'll come to Atlanta to play the Braves Country Baseball and Softball Championships. But we're also involved with each park from a standpoint of their league play. So we're not dictating rules for each park, but we will have championship rules and state rules. But then at your park, you're going to play your park great, like you regularly do. But then we're going to engage with all of our members from the standpoint that we want each kid at the park to receive a membership bag. So they're going to get a drawstring bag with a hat and a cooling towel and the patch for their jersey. And then they're going to get a letter from, you know, maybe Alex or Snit saying, welcome to Braves Country Baseball and Softball. Glad you're a member. And then my goal as I'm working on putting together a show, a live stream show that will be run through the season. So look, we're looking 6 to 8 weeks that will only go out to our members, and we'll have instruction on there from alumni, hopefully from the current players and staff. We'll have, you know, things for softball and baseball. We're gonna talk about things for coaches, and so we're looking at live streaming that on YouTube, and just real excited about how we can engage with our members at the park level. And then we'll set together, once the All-Star teams are picked, then we'll set a path for them to potentially come to Atlanta for the championships. And then we'll have an incredible celebration here at Truist Park with a parade, and we'll have something out in the Battery and tickets to the game. So this is something that we've been thinking about for the last 3 or 4 months and planning and preparing, and it's going to kick off in 2024. So we're outcasting that vision to other parks and looking for them to join on. And if you're listening and you're a park board member or a park president or even just a parent that has kids at a park that you think your park might be interested, go to braves.com/growinthegame or braves.com/BCBS, and your park can at least fill out an inquiry form, and then we'll give them a call and tell them exactly. We'll send them a packet of information that talks about our rules and talks about how you register and talks about kind of what the format is going to be. But we've just had an incredible response from all over Braves country about what we're doing. And, you know, people feel differently about some of the other organizations that are out there. What we found is that there are a lot of parks that have gone independent. And just because they've either been disillusioned by some of the other groups, but or the fact that they don't want to play until August. So we're going to be done at the end of June, and we're going to have a track that leads to Atlanta, not somewhere else. And we just think with the team and coming to this exciting ballpark and stuff, we can kind of marry the two, and we're really, really excited about what's going on. So yeah, I've been working on that, and really that's going to capture most of our attention at on the Growing the Game staff from between now and outside of fantasy camp in January. But from the Growing the Game side, that's going to really be our focus from now until March 1st when the first season kicks off. So our goal this year is to have 72 parks. That would be two in each district. Now, I think we can do better than that. But when we first started, I was thinking that maybe we just had two parks per state. That was about 12. Well, we blew by that. And I think now our goal is going to be closer to 72 parks. And that would give us a true representation of all of Braves country. So right now we're shooting for two parks in each district. So anyway, give us a call. We'd love to talk about it. I'll come down there and meet with you and your board and our commissioner who's working with us, Chad Parker. We'll come down and meet with a group of people that maybe are in your district. Maybe you've got 5 or 6 park presidents that are, you guys are all buddies, and you'd like to see Braves Country Baseball and Softball come to your district, then we'll come down and meet with you.
You know, I'm so excited for you and to see this vision like actually coming to life. I always flash back to when I was a kid in Virginia and playing baseball, and I can't remember, think the association or mine was called like the Bambino League or something, but
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Babe Ruth.
There's Connie Mack, there was Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth.
I believe
Sandy Koufax.
I don't know if it was Babe Ruth or it was an offshoot. I think ours had like the term actually Bambino.
Oh, really?
And I think, okay. Well, I'm an old man now, so this is a long time ago.
You're not old.
Well, to some of our listeners, I probably am. But I do remember how cool it was, like getting that patch, like mm-hmm. having my actual jersey and having that patch. Now, I grew up a Braves fan. I put myself in the shoes of a kid now somewhere out there in a park in the Southeast, and I could get a, like, I could go play in the Braves Country Baseball League or the Softball League and have that Braves Country Baseball Softball patch on my jersey. I think that's, to me, that's a really, really exciting thing. And how much, I just think of how much just the pride in, I would have taken that in that alone as a kid. And then, of course, the importance of, like, that's, you know, this isn't all about the patch. I mean, the reason, there's a lot of reasons you're doing this. But for a kid, to me, I'm so excited for that element of it, that there's going to be a lot of young Braves fans that get to put that Braves patch on their uniform. And to me, that's something really darn special.
Yeah.
I think that's something they'll get to cherish forever.
Well, our mission statement is that we want to bring prestige back to the Parks and Rec. We want to help develop, support the community level baseball. Just like you said, we grew up doing that, and I had a lot of pride playing for my community. I think we've gotten away from that a little bit. I think there's some other factors that are drawing people away from the community, and I would love to see kind of, and there's some spots around the Southeast where community ball is thriving. We just want to come in and we want to help support. We want to bring people back to the park that may be left because of greener pastures or whatever. And then once they leave, a lot of times they don't come back. So I think we want to help everybody thrive at the community level. We just know the importance of it. I've been all in youth baseball and softball for many years, coaching, travel ball, teaching, tournament side, a lot of that. I've just been a part of that, and I just really see the need for the Braves to use their brand and to use their strength to get behind the communities, you know, to support what's going on at the park. There's tons of moms and dads that are doing an incredible job administrating, teaching, coaching, and we want to support them. So, and I'll just give you one simple way. We have a huge coaches clinic here that's sponsored by Nike, and we have the big league staff that's helping us. Kevin Seitzer, Eddie Perez, Rick Kranitz, Ron Washington. We have those guys that have been a part of that. They were a part of it last year. I just sent out a note today to see if they'd be a part of it with us again this year. It's in December. We're going to open that up to our membership, and we want those people to come because we want them to become better teachers, better coaches. And I think our big league staff can help them do that. And so there's little things like that that we can help support them. And then as well as branding, you know, if you're known as a Braves Country Baseball and Softball Park, we think that's pretty special to be able to do that. And if we can connect with each kid and for the team that they love, they can let them know they're a part of the organization. So I think that's all positive. And I just don't see anything that that can stop us at this point. I'm real excited about my staff, the organization from top to bottom. We've had nothing but great responses. And then now that we've been out in the communities and talking about it, that enthusiasm is starting to swell, and we're getting a lot of good momentum.
That's awesome, man. Kudos to you and your staff.
Thank you.
And everybody involved, because this has been a monumental undertaking by you guys, and it's starting to come to life. And, you know, we're going to blink, and it's going to be March 1st, and yeah, and the season's going to start. And I can't wait. It's going to be great. So
let's have the postseason first. Let's take care of business right now. Then we'll even celebrate even more, right?
Let's have a World Series parade.
Oh, nice.
Then let's have an awesome 2 weeks of Rays Fantasy Camp, and then we'll roll right into Braves Country
Baseball.
That sounds
like a great offseason to me.
Sounds like a solid 6 months to me. So putting it out in the universe, make it so. I even waved my arms in the air just now. That's why I
need that little camera up in the,
I know,
so we can show them your great office.
I know.
You know, like Kevin Millar on MLB, he has that. I mean, your true office is probably better than his.
I do have a lot of stuff in here now.
I mean, I told you that we need to put little podcast camera there showing you and showing your goat up there.
Right. I do have a large goat on my on display in here.
Yep. And then one over there showing me drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
And then and I think they would see you throw your hands up in there like
I've been talking with my social media staff about some ways we can start getting back to video on this podcast. So maybe we'll do it.
Okay.
Maybe we gotta get through the World Series parade first.
Yeah. I mean, it's cold enough in here for an extra person to be being here.
I know it's finally taken a year and a half, but it's finally now come down to my level because I am so hot natured. So yeah, and we talk enough, it gets to a nice, there's enough right, hot yeah. air. It's nice.
Yeah, maybe we can put pictures over things over these Virginia things that are in here.
Oh, you don't like looking at national championship memories? Well, you know, you could put a Peyton Manning.
I'll bring my Tennessee football. Cup. How about that?
There you go. Okay, that works.
Or I could put my Peyton Manning helmet right
That's
here.
That's fine. I like Peyton. Okay. I got no problem with that. Okay. As long as you don't bring that Dallas Cowboys cup in here, we're good.
All right. Well, I have to get my Dak jersey on or something.
Okay. All right. Before we start throwing punches here, we'll call it a show. For Greg McMichael, I'm Ricky Mast. Go Braves. We'll see you next time on Behind the Braves.